The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Nurses to rally Monday in New Orleans as they start working on their first union contract. Transportation workers vote to strike in Los Angeles. And today on the show, the sister in the Brotherhood and the United Steelworkers on building ships in America again. Welcome to the Friday, March 22nd edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Stacy Moody Gilbert. And Stacy is a vice president of the Northwest region of the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, which is a division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. And that's a pretty big region. We're talking about 14 states, going from Washington State all the way to Michigan and down to Missouri. And she'll talk about that territory. By the way, this is pretty significant. Along with being vice president, Stacy is one of the highest ranking officers in the union, the first woman general chairwoman in the union's history, which goes back to 1887. She is the first woman elected to the executive board and one of the highest ranked women on BNSF's seniority roster. I'll tell you, she's accomplished a lot. She started back in 1993, working on the rail, pounding spikes. I'm telling you, maintenance way, they work on the tracks, and that is a tough job. She's going to talk about being a woman on the job at that time and then how she moved up the ladder with the union. And she'll talk about being a woman on the rail today compared to 30-plus years ago. Many have said that Stacy has shattered every boundary, and she continues to do that, and she'll talk about that as our first guest on the show. James Walker will be joining us later on behalf of the United Steelworkers, one of the many proud sponsors of America's Workforce. He serves as Sub-District 1 Director. And we're going to talk about shipbuilding. And you may recall a conversation that I had with Scott Paul on behalf of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. This was last week. And we were talking about commercial shipbuilding and how it's pretty much disappeared in America. Well, the steelworkers are among several unions that are calling on the Biden administration to investigate China's unfair trade practices when it comes to commercial shipbuilding. And they want to do this through a Section 301 petition. The other unions involved, by the way, include the machinists, the aerospace workers, the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, iron shipbuilders, blacksmiths, forgers, and helpers, the IBEW, and along with the Maritime Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Now, this petition, this goes back, I mean, they started this back in 1974. It allows the United States to respond to unreasonable or discriminatory foreign government practices that burden or restrict U.S. commerce. And the Biden administration has, well, the clock is ticking on this, 45 days to decide whether to open an investigation. Right now, and this is crazy, China is currently the world's largest shipbuilder, dwarfing American shipbuilding capacity. If you go back 2 years ago, China built almost 47% of the world's ships. South Korea was second, just shy of 30%. You know where the United States is? 0.13%. Let me repeat that. 0.13%. We have a problem here. Now, this is commercial shipbuilding. We're not talking about when it comes to destroyers. But we've got problems there, too. That's another story. We're also going to talk about organizing a pilot program that the steelworkers were involved. So James Walker will be joining us as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Nurses will rally this coming Monday, March 25th, at University Medical Center. This is in New Orleans, as they begin negotiations on their first union contract with LCMC Health. Nurses at the hospital made history back in December when they overwhelmingly voted to join National Nurses United, becoming the first unionized private sector hospital in the state of Louisiana and members of the largest nurses union in the United States of America. Now, nurses say they are prepared to negotiate a first contract that will set new standards for patient care and nurses' working conditions across their city and the entire state. Dana Judkins is an RN in the trauma unit. She said, "We won our union election with a supermajority. 82% yes, 90% turnout, which is a clear mandate from our fellow nurses to fight for better conditions at UMC." She goes on to say, "We're ready to go to the table with a plan to win what we need for better patient care, better working conditions, and a better future for healthcare in New Orleans." Keisha Montez is an RN in the behavioral health unit at UMC. Keisha says, "A strong contract is a contract that improves staffing, safety, and patient care at our hospital. We know that our first contract can set new higher standards at UMC, and that can raise the bar at other hospitals as well." Very good point. And then there's Kathy Kennedy, who's an RN and president of the California Nurses Association. Kathy says, "The rally marks a historic day for nurses across the entire South." Boy, she is dead right on that. "These nurses won the largest National Labor Relations Board election in their state in decades. And we're thrilled to see what history they'll continue to make as they fight for a strong contract and show the world what nurses can accomplish when they get organized." By the way, the National Nurses Organizing Committee represents nearly 600 nurses at the University Medical Center. So keep our eyes on that big rally that's going to be this Monday in New Orleans. Now let's go to Los Angeles, where MV transportation workers, represented by Teamsters Local 572, have voted overwhelmingly to strike. The 360 Teamsters serve hundreds of thousands of residents in downtown Los Angeles and surrounding areas. This could be a major problem if they walk out. Comment here from Lourdes Garcia, Secretary Treasurer of the local, which is 572. Lord says, "Our members are the heartbeat of the city, tirelessly ensuring that residents, especially those from our most vulnerable communities, reach their destination safely. From school to crucial medical appointments, our drivers are the lifeline connecting people to essential services. It's high time our city leaders and MV Transportation recognize the invaluable contributions of our members." Now, Local 572 members have been in talks for months with the city. Catania Curry is a driver. Catania says, "As a transit driver, every day feels like a battle. We're stretched thin, trying to keep up with the demands of our routes while dealing with the harsh reality of constant understaffing. Being overworked by MV Transportation has become the norm as they struggle to fill vacancies and maintain service levels. Despite our commitment to providing reliable transportation, constant staffing shortages result in longer hours, increased stress, and compromised safety for passengers and drivers. The truth is that we have been forced in this position after years of neglect by MV Transportation, and Los Angeles City leadership has the power to make it right." By the way, a recent report by the Los Angeles Department of Transportation stated rates for drivers providing transit services are among the least competitive in the region, resulting in staffing shortages, impacted service, and significant delays in route on-time performance. By the way, Teamsters Local 572 represents more than 11,500 workers at more than 150 diverse employers in Southern California. So that is certainly one to watch. And one more story here before we break, and this involves a interview that I did a couple of days ago. And our guest on the show was Max Alvarez and also Chris Albright, who is with a labor's union in East Palestine, Ohio. Tomorrow, I'll tell you, if you get an opportunity, if you're in the Midwest, you might want to go to East Palestine, Ohio, because there's going to be a huge turnout there with a number of unions, environmental activists, a number of elected officials. And this is all part of Justice for East Palestine, where they're holding a national conference for the people. And the idea here is to get President Biden to issue a major disaster declaration for health care, what's called the Stafford Act. Now, if he can do that, those that lost their jobs like Chris can get health care. And Chris right now is suffering a major heart condition. And he may not make it, along with others, because of what happened on February 3rd of 2023. And you can get some more information. We can check that interview first at awfpodcast.com or therealnews.com. And that's the website that everything is posted on for Max Alvarez. So you might want to check that out. And if you get an opportunity, definitely take part in Justice for East Palestine, which is going to be tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Stacey Moody Gilbert, the sister in the Brotherhood. That would be the Brotherhood of the Maintenance of Way employees. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Alliance for American Manufacturing is a nonprofit, nonpartisan partnership formed back in 2007 by some of America's leading manufacturers and the United Steelworkers. Their mission is simple: strengthen American manufacturing and create new private sector jobs through smart public policies. Key word there is smart. We need to be smarter than ever in today's highly competitive world. The Alliance for American Manufacturing believes that an innovative and growing manufacturing base is vital to America's economic and national security, as well as providing good jobs for future generations. Good jobs today, good jobs tomorrow. Good American jobs. Find out more at AmericanManufacturing.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-Union.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way,
This next segment is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office. Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies formed out of a need to provide affordable health care to teachers, to loggers, and miners. Well, in 1965, the Blues developed the National Labor Office to strengthen its commitment to organized labor. And today, Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office remains focused on America's workers, advocating for affordable and equitable health care, partnering with strategic alliances to provide industry-leading products and services, and proudly serving more than 18 million unionized workers, retirees, as well as their families. Working hard for America's working families, for the health of America. You can learn more by following them at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and X, formerly known as Twitter. All right, let's go to our live line right now and welcome to the show, Stacy Moody Gilbert. Now, Stacy is a vice president of the Northwest region of the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, one of the new sponsors here on America's Workforce. And if you go to that website, bmwe.org, let me repeat that, bmwe.org, you will see seven leaders of the Brotherhood, and only one is female. And she's joining us on the show today, Stacy Moody Gilbert. Welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to talk about your journey, because working on the railroad, this is not easy. And I was reading earlier, too. You are the first woman general chairwoman of the Brotherhood in their history, going back to 1887. The first woman elected to the executive board. This is quite an accomplishment. And one of the reasons we're talking to you today is the fact that March is Women's History Month. So obviously you, Stacy Moody Gilbert, are making history. And I want to talk about that. Let's go back to getting involved working on the railroad. What made you go in that direction, Stacy? Let's start right there.
Well, after high school, I went to a year of college. I decided that wasn't really for me. I decided to join the United States Navy. I spent a few years in the Navy, and when I decided to get out of the Navy, I moved back to Wyoming. My parents were there. My dad was a railroader. The railroad just happened to be hiring, and in 1993, I hired on with the former Burlington Northern Railroad in Gillette, Wyoming. And I worked out on the railroad tracks as a new track laborer, and we were building new railroad tracks. I became a machine operator, an assistant foreman, a foreman, a truck driver, different various areas out there that you can work. And I worked out on the tracks until 2005. In 2005, I was appointed to a staff position in the Burlington System Division office as the assistant to the general chairman at the time. I worked in the system office. In 2008, I was appointed to a new position, the claims and grievance coordinator, and then I decided that I really enjoyed the union work. It felt like it was a natural fit for me. So in 2010, one of our vice generals was going to retire, and so I let everybody know that I was going to run for that vice general chairwoman position, and I was elected in 2010 as a vice general. And in 2012, our general was retiring, and I ran I actually had run for the vice general chairperson position, but I was nominated from the floor at the convention and was actually elected as the general chairperson in 2012. I served as the general chairperson for 10 years of the Burlington System Division, and during that time, we had formed the BMWED Women's Committee. And then in 2014, like you stated before, I was elected to the National Division Executive Board position, and I held the secretary position on the National Executive Board. And 2018, I was appointed to the advisor on the Committee on Diversity when one of our advisors had retired. And then in 2022, I was elected as the vice president of the Northwest region. And then 2023, just to get more involved, we formed the BMWED Armed Forces Council, and I'm an advisor to that council, helping our military veterans and their families within the Brotherhood. And then in 2023, we also formed the National Hispanic Caucus, to which I'm an advisor to that committee as well. And so I just really love doing the union work, serving the brothers and sisters out there, helping their families. It's just a very meaningful job to me, and that's where my passion is.
So, Stacy, you hit the ground running. It sounds like you've been really, really busy, and you certainly worked your way up the ladder. I want to talk more about that transition you're talking about to help military brothers and sisters. Maybe we can get into that a little bit. It reminds me of, like, helmets to hard hats, what the building trades, what they do to get the transition from military into the trades, the various trades, and they need the work right now. But as far as working on the railroad, if you can take me back to that time, being how many women actually worked on the railroad when you started doing that?
Well, in our craft, which is the maintenance of way craft, we build and construct the railroad tracks, bridges, and buildings out on the property. And so in the maintenance of way department, back in the early 90s, there were very few women that actually worked out on the tracks. At one point in time, we had less than 100 women that actually work in the maintenance of way department. Now, the other departments, the trainmen, the crafts, the car shops, they have different numbers than we do, but the track women are very far and few between.
Was it difficult for you to work on the job? I mean, the fact that you were a woman and you were trying to do what was typically a man's job, was maybe I'm sure you had some stories about that when you first started.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of stories. I mean, it was challenging to say the least. I mean, it's very physical work. You're out in the elements. It doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing, hailing. You're out there working because the railroad has to continue doing their business. And so, it does become challenging for the women out there. Part of our biggest challenge, even in today's world in 2024, we still have challenges with some railroads in getting like bathroom facilities to the job sites for our members. And, it's not specifically for women, but, women would tend to need a bathroom facility out there more so than maybe, a man on a daily basis. But, we still struggle with personal protective equipment, getting the right size gloves, getting the right size vests. Some women, that have small feet have trouble finding approved railroad vendor steel toe boots. And mm-hmm. So, you're dealing with the elements, you're dealing with the difficulties in the PPE, and you're dealing with being the only woman on a 40-person gang. And, for some, it's a little bit harder for some, but it was challenging, but I loved the challenge.
Now take me to the union part here. And it's interesting because you call it a brotherhood, but you're a sister. So the fact that you were a woman trying to get involved in normally a male profession here, talk to me about that time. Was there some difficult moments for you?
Well, there were, and that was part of the reason that we formed the BMWED Women's Committee, because as I went to my first International Brotherhood of Teamsters Women's Conference in 2005, and out of 750 women, there were like three railroad people, and it was just like, this is crazy. And then I got to looking at our own brotherhood and noticed that, all of these local lodges that we have, you've got lodge officer positions, you've got system officer positions, and you got national officer positions, and there were no women. And it was kind of frustrating to me. So we started the Women's Committee in the intent to, educate our women and get our women more involved in the union. And since we've done that, we've got local lodge presidents, vice presidents, secretary treasurers that are women. We've got more local chairwomen at the local level, trying to just promote women and the ability to interest them in these jobs. And so it's tough because a lot of women don't want to go out and do these types of jobs. You're representing members in investigations. There's a lot of travel, and if you have a family at home, it's a very hard job, but, when you have a good support system, that always helps. And so, as I got into the union job, I'll be honest, when I left the tracks for the first 4 or 5 months, I thought, man, maybe this office job isn't for me because I'm probably a better, tamper operator than I am a, office person, and I struggled. But as I learned more about it, I really, really got to enjoy it. And as the opportunities arose. I ran for election, and you know, at some point when after I became the general, I was reelected in 2016 and 2020, and I ran unopposed there. And then when I ran for the vice president's position in 2022, I also ran unopposed. And so, you know, I felt that I had gained the members' confidence, and that, you know, they wanted me in those positions to where I could represent them to the best of my ability.
You know, my take on when you run opposed, that means you scared everybody away. You know that, don't you, Stacey?
Well, I don't know about that. I just don't know, but it was very humbling. It was a very humbling convention for me. I was very proud and very humbled.
And you should be. Stacey Moody Gilbert joining us on our live line today. She's vice president of Northwest Region of the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, which, by the way, is affiliated with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. We'll continue with Stacey right after this.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA. org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel for more information.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. is her website. Let's rejoin Stacey Moody Gilbert on our live line today. Stacey is a vice president of the Northwest Region of the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, affiliated with the Teamsters. BMWE.org is a website. And that Northwest Region, that's a pretty significant territory. We're looking at 14 states? Can you run down the area that you have to cover? That's a lot of travel in my mind. Go ahead.
It is. It's a lot of travel, but it's great to get out and see the men and women that work out on the railroad tracks and the officers that work in those territories. We're actually spread out from Washington State over through Montana, Idaho, a little bit of Oregon, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan is the territory that I cover.
That's a lot. That's certainly a lot. So let's talk about the agenda here for this year. And right now, the Brotherhood has about 28,000 employees. You mentioned in the first segment that you worked to get the military involved, sisters and brothers in the military, to get them involved in the rail industry. Was this your idea? Maybe you could tell us how that actually works. And also, I guess there's the National Hispanic Caucus. So if you can address these two, because I know you're pretty excited about them.
Yes. After our national convention in 2022, I actually had a couple of our members that were attending the convention approach me and said, hey, you know, we didn't know that you were a military veteran. And now that we have a military veteran at the national level, you know, we would like to do something for our military folks. And so we formed the BMWED Armed Forces Council. This is a member-driven council where we have worked to gather information that will help our brothers and sisters. We know that a lot of them have struggled with VA claims, trying to get into the VA, trying to just reach contact people at the railroads, you know, trying to figure out different things that where they can get some help for mental health, or just whatever they need. Sometimes, you know, there's an issue with the pay. And, of course, we don't get into any of the bargaining or anything that affects the collective bargaining agreements. We're just basically an additional resource where we can put stuff up on the BMWE.org webpage that says, hey, you know, if you're military or you're part of a military family, here are some resources for you. We've got the suicide prevention line, because that's been a very sensitive topic for us. I mean, we've, you know, had members that have really needed that kind of help. And so basically our Armed Forces Council is to, you know, help our veterans. We've recently done a Zoom with the Veterans Guardian Group. They've helped us help some of our members with claims through the VA. And so just really excited to be able to bring this type of a program within our brotherhood. The Hispanic Caucus actually grew out of some members from our Committee on Diversity. We attend different events each year that we do, like the Teamsters National Black Caucus. We do different Teamster Hispanic Caucus events. And some of the members from our Committee on Diversity said, hey, you know, we would like to have a Hispanic caucus. That way we can help educate our communities about, you know, our traditions, our culture. And then also, you know, they are planning to volunteer with the inside the communities to do community projects. Each year we do, you know, each year I put together a BMWED Habitat for Humanity project. And we try to get as many BMWED members from our different committees or our rank and file members to come and help with those projects. And so, you know, we like to give back. We want to be involved in our communities. And, you know, Armed Forces Council this year, we're going to be making parking signs for veterans to honor our veterans, giving them, you know, parking signs at different locations. We'll be distributing that. We'll be involved in the Wreaths Across America this year, and then we're also looking into different venues where we can assist in placing flags in the cemeteries on the national holidays that they do that.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because there's a perception out there, Stacey, and you know this, that the unions are only in for themselves. They only want more money. They want better benefits, but there's so much more to what unions do, so I really appreciate you saying what you just did here on the show. Let's talk about, you mentioned diversity, and I know you're in charge of a panel on that. You know, that's becoming a dirty word, and it, you know, the politics have really changed things in the last couple of years. How would you say diversity is in the rail industry right now?
You know, our diversity is good. I mean, there's a lot, and we're finding more and more. I mean, you know, women, there's not a lot of women out there. The LGBTQ community that we have is, you know, we're not sure, you know, the numbers on that. But we're recently finding more pockets of different diverse members out there, which is great, because for the first time ever, We have got Asian American or Pacific Asian American members on our Committee on Diversity, which we've never had that before. We have an LGBT community member on our committee. And so as we go around the country and we attend different training seminars, there are groups within the Teamsters that our members can join. We have training seminars where we learn about those communities. And so it helps us when we go out into the field and we come upon a situation where we have some issues with maybe diversity or just some issues that need to be taken care of. If we need someone to help us with something that's happening in the Navajo Nation within our brotherhood, we've got a brother that is a Navajo that's on our committee. And so, we as a committee are growing. We're learning more about our diverse members. And, it's a great thing. I think we're doing good things.
Well, there's the union perspective, and obviously there's the rail perspective. Talk to me about management, because I've been doing this show for 25 plus years, and in the last couple of years I've been hearing horror stories about the rail industry, and it's basically run by Wall Street today. Profits, money, less workers. I know that's what's going on. That's another show. We've dealt with a number. There's 12 plus rail unions out there. So there's a lot of issues. But how is the industry handling diversity, in your opinion, right now?
Well, I think on all occasions, there's always a chance to do better. I think that, they need to have a different outlook on how to go about hiring. If you want women in your workforce or you want people of color in your workforce, when you're out there doing job interviews or you're doing job fairs, you need to have people like us at these job fairs. If you want a military veteran, you want a woman, you want a person of color, then they should be standing at that table talking to the folks that are interested in coming into this industry. And we don't get enough of that. And part of our Committee on Diversity and also part of our Armed Forces Council, we're trying to, talk with the railroads to get them to let us attend these types of events with them as kind of look, we're here to talk to you straight up about, I worked out on the tracks and this is what it's about. Or, this is, military to military or woman to woman. I think we can do better. And I think it's hard. Because they don't have that diversity at the table.
Well, Stacy, I got one more question here, and I really thank you for joining us here on America's Workforce. Your message to I don't know if the industry is hiring right now. I know there's been some ups and downs, especially in the last couple of years, especially with the pandemic. But the woman that's listening right now, what's your message to that person or persons with regard to possible employment, maybe working on the tracks? What would that be, Stacy?
My advice would be is if you're interested, look into it, ask a lot of questions, and go for it. I mean, it's a great job. It provided my family, even growing up. My dad was a railroader, so we've enjoy the union benefits, the benefit of the good job, and don't be afraid. Just go for it. Stand up for yourself and just go at it 100%.
I love it. All right. Well, you've been doing it for 31 years and still going strong. So, Stacy, thank you so much for joining us today. Stacy Moody Gilbert, Vice President, Northwest Region of the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, BMWE.org. She covers 14 states, a lot of territory. So I'm going to let you get back to work, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. James Walker, Sub-District 1 Director of the United Steelworkers, will be coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You can find more at ulagency.org. Joining us in Studio 17, I call it Studio 17 because it's actually Iron Workers 17. We've been doing the show here since the pandemic, since the close down of a lot of America back in March of 2020, and I like it so much here. And plus, they're also a sponsor of the Great Lakes District Council. We decided to continue to do the show here. And joining us here is James Walker, who is the Sub-District 1 Director for the United Steelworkers, USW.org, national website for all information of what's going on in steel. And big announcement this week that the steelworkers endorse President Biden for re-election. And we talked about that briefly yesterday with Dave McCall, president of the steelworkers. Now, Jim, he replaced Pat Gallagher, who retired last June. And let me ask you right now, how's that transition been going? Has it been pretty smooth? Did he kind of pave the way for you?
The transition has been going pretty smooth. I was a staff representative under Pat, so I worked with Pat for quite a long time. He kind of laid the path for me to take over when he was going.
Good, good, good. And he still takes part in the show on behalf of the North Coast Labor Federation, and he's very involved in a lot of different union drives, and so we appreciate what he's contributed over the years. And a little background on yourself, you were in a foundry for so many years, 20 plus years?
I worked 23 years in a forging shop in Warren, Ohio before I came on staff for the steelworkers.
Okay. You like the working in Sub-District 1?
I absolutely love it. This is home. So I get to take care of members that I know well and deal with employers that I know well. And, yeah, couldn't ask for a better situation.
Good. You were talking yesterday about this U.S. Steel-Nippon merger here. And I'll tell you, that's left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths right now. And I know Dave is doing everything possible to stop that, along with President Biden. He announced a week ago that, this is not a good deal, especially when it comes to national security. Speaking of which, I know you want to talk about shipbuilding. And we had a really good conversation a week ago with Scott Paul, who, and the Alliance for American Manufacturing is aligned with the steelworkers. And I know the steelworkers are one of 5 unions. They're saying, you know what, we got to do a better job here because China is just crushing it. Talk to me about this situation here, Jim.
Yeah, so the steelworkers filed a Section 301 trade case for shipbuilding, some period of time. We've lost 70,000 shipbuilding jobs here. I know last time I was on the show, we actually talked about American shipbuilding and all the other, you know, shipyards that have gone by the wayside. And, you know, it's not just about the shipyards and the shipbuilding, which is essential to our national security. But, you know, it's also about all of the jobs that supply that shipbuilding as well. When we went to Washington, D.C. last week to file the trade case, I actually went with another one of our union representatives from Hunt Valve. They make all kinds of actuators and other things like that. I represent workers here at Cleveland Wirecloth. And I've been in talks with their union representation and their management. They used to make screens that went into air filters for shipbuilding, and they at some point in time lost that work to a foreign competitor. You know, so it's much more about the supply chain as well as just the shipbuildings.
So the 70,000, does that include all the jobs that are related to shipbuilding?
Those are just shipbuilding jobs. So all of the other supply chain jobs, that's in addition to that.
Wow. So it could be well over 100, maybe even 200,000 jobs lost.
Absolutely.
When did this start? And how did this happen? I mean, we have found ourselves in a really bad place right now.
Yeah, no, we absolutely have. You know, I mean, just like every other industry, you know, we're facing foreign competition, dumping, you know, things like that. And these jobs have slowly over time just started disappearing. And, you know, as I said, with the supply chain jobs as well, they're slowly fading away, and you know the steelworkers are always on the forefront of watching out for bad trade and bad trade deals, and so we got into this and they filed it last week, and it really is essential for our nation.
And I'm looking to we got a couple of members of Congress, Tammy Baldwin out of Wisconsin, Bob Casey out of Pennsylvania. They're behind it. I don't know if we're getting any Republican support on this bill, but right now there's a lot of people that are very upset with what's gone on in America when it comes to trade. We've lost literally millions of jobs going back to NAFTA, absolutely, PNTR. Unions were really vocal. Nobody seemed to listen back then. Do you remember that? It's like,
I do.
No big deal. No, this is going to be good for America. Right. How many times have you heard that, Jim?
Yeah. Far too many.
Yeah. Now, this 301 petition, what do you know about that? And I this goes back. I mean, this was put together back in the 70s, I believe 1974. Does this have enough teeth? I guess that's my question.
I think so. I think so. You know, as you said, Senator Tammy Baldwin and Senator Bob Casey were there when we launched the trade case. They staunchly stand behind us. We also, when we launched the petition, we were partnered up with the machinists, the Brotherhood of Boilermakers, Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Maritime Trades Department. All of these unions and our partners in Congress recognize just how many jobs we've lost and just how detrimental it is for America and our national security.
China built almost half the world's ships. South Korea was second. Japan was third. United States, 0.13%. That's ridiculous. And I was reading, too, this is from the Alliance for American Manufacturing. This was from the Office of Navy Intelligence. They revealed that China's shipbuilding capacity is actually 232 times greater than the United States.
Right.
We got a lot of catching up to do whole situation. So we'll see what happens. Now, you were also want to talk about a pilot program. And I remember you and I had some conversation on that. Can you explain what we're working on here?
Yeah, so we have an organizing program that we're actually starting as a pilot program here in District 1, which is Ohio and Michigan. And instead of only utilizing full-time organizers that we have in headquarters, we've actually identified people and local union representatives here in our district that are interested in organizing, and they work in their plants as it is right now. However, we've pulled them out, and they've gone through organizing training. And the idea is that when we have an organizing drive in their area, we can pull them out of the plant, work 3-4 weeks for the steelworkers, and do some organizing in their area. And the idea is that those people work full-time in their plants, so they already understand what it is. They can relate to people who are trying to organize. As you probably can imagine, people who are trying to organize, typically they're scared, right, because the laws in this country don't protect them the way that they should. They're nervous about, you know, what it means for the future. And our people who work in our plants can come out and understand what it means to work those crazy schedules, you know, all the things that it means to deal with a life in manufacturing or whatever field they're in. And it, you know, gives them a chance better to relate to people who are trying to organize.
So when did this actually start? And is there a lot of buy-in on it?
I think there is a lot of buy-in. And it started, actually, we've been talking about it for quite some time. But just last week, actually, I was in D.C. Monday and Tuesday for the shipbuilding case and then flew to Pittsburgh for this organizing training. And we had 8 participants from our district who went through, you know, a 4-day program at the International so they could learn from our full-time organizers.
Is it a pretty intense program then for those 4 days?
It was pretty intense. Yep. It was long days and, you know, a lot of work in the evenings and things like that. And so now our, you know, 8 people or so that we had are now back in their plants, but they're also, you know, doing work on their own time and, you know, trying to compile information and getting started already for organizing.
So you got these 8. Now what's the next step? I imagine you got a game plan here and you got some goals in mind.
Yeah, so those 8 are actually what they went through what we would call like a train-the-trainer program. And now the idea is they've gone back to their home locals. We've already identified locals in their area who either want to start an organizing program or already have an organizing program that they're getting off the ground. So now our trainers that have come back to their areas can start training full committees inside of our locals as well.
Okay. Now, is this exclusive just to District 1, to this area? And I'm just wondering, too, if I would imagine, and it feels like it's going to be a success. You're putting a lot of work into it. This would be copied in other parts of the country?
Yeah, that's the idea, is that we're trying to get it started here in District 1. Already off to a good start. The idea is, you know, as I said, it's a pilot program. So once we see what works and what doesn't, then they'll mimic it in the other districts across the country.
That's cool. Capitalizing on what's going on. It's been a pretty good couple of years here, especially under this administration. When you got a union-friendly president, you know, good things happen, don't they?
Absolutely. Certainly for working people. Yeah, yes, they do.
We want to keep the momentum going. I like that. You were mentioning before you came in here, you were involved, and I really appreciate one thing about the steelworkers. It's a very diverse union.
It is.
We're talking 850,000 strong, right. I mean, and growing, especially with all this organizing you're doing in this area. But the Women in Steel, and we've talked over the years about this program. Can you tell us, I guess you, and March is Women's History Month, so it's only appropriate that we're dealing with this right now. What's going on here in the area with that?
Yeah, so I came into town yesterday evening because it was the conclusion of our District 1 Women of Steel program. Our assistant to the director is actually our Women of Steel coordinator here in Ohio. And they actually, again, in District 1, it's the only district that has a 5-year Women of Steel leadership program. And those sisters were just finishing up their leadership yesterday evening. So I got to come in and spend some time with them and go to their banquet as they were wrapping up. But in year one, you know, they cover everything from the structure of the union, the roles of local union officers. They cover local union elections, how to get involved in committees, you know, just a host of different subjects that help them become activists in their local.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, as you said, you know, I mean, we're an all-inclusive union. We're very diverse. And so for our sisters who sometimes come from male-dominated industries, you know, for them to learn how to use their voice and to learn how to become activists and be involved in the process in our union, it's of the utmost importance.
Jim, I'm really glad that you brought that up because the guest that was on the show before you, Stacy Moody Gilbert, is with the Brotherhood of Maintenance Way. I call her a sister in the Brotherhood. And she was telling us about how she worked on railroad tracks. I mean, the maintenance of railroad tracks. And she started that back in the early 90s. So we're seeing a lot of progression of women, especially in male-dominated industries. And I can only assume that with women in steel, you're going to see more of that in years to come, don't you think?
Absolutely, we will.
Good, good, good. Very good. James Walker, Sub-District 1 Director, replacing Pat Gallagher. I tell you, you really did a pretty good job on the show today. You keep up doing what you're doing, and you're always a guest here on America's Workforce. Okay, my brother?
Thank you. Great to be here.
That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, the first female instructor in the Veterans in Piping program, the latest from the Transportation Trades Department, and we'll reflect on the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York City in 1911. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.